As we start to see the impact on the sports world with this coronavirus, one big concern is the fate of the Japan 2020 Olympics, which is set to start in July. It is to be a showcase for surfing, a sport born here in the islands. Hawaii's John John Florence and Carissa Moore have qualified for the Team USA. They've been dubbed Aloha Ambassadors, sharing the story of surfing with Aloha. We caught up with Carissa Moore recently at an event put on by the Friends of Kiwalos. Now, that surf spot is where she honed her skills as a surf grom. She helped to post a sign at the point. It says, Surf with Aloha, and it's a sign that old-timers hope will be the first of many across the state.
Yes, I was really excited about this Surf with Aloha event here at Kiwalo Basin. This is where I grew up surfing and where I still, it's still my training grounds. And I feel like this is, the people here, they're an extension of my family. And I don't know, it's just a nice night to gather to celebrate this place and to educate each other about, you know, surf etiquette and, you know, give back to the future generations. I'm just really looking forward to going to the Olympics and hopefully representing Hawaii in a really positive way. And I mean, I don't really have too many expectations for results wise, but I would love to give it my best, the competition. And yeah, I don't know. I haven't really thought too much more besides that.
Do you have your boards picked out?
No, not yet.
Now, Moore has become a role model out in the waves and across the globe, and Hawaii is proud to have her represent the islands. We talked to her dad, Chris, about the lessons learned at Kiwalos to get invited back to that area. He couldn't be prouder of his daughter, recalling the surf sessions as he tried to nurture her skills in a sport that he loved. We also heard from Gary Moniz, dad of two surfers, Isaiah and Seth, who was dubbed recently the Rookie of the Year. First, here's Chris Moore.
I don't know if I want to use the word strategically, but strategically it just made sense for us to get along, you know, and because we wanted to come back and we wanted to practice here. So it was to try and do things with surfing etiquette. So if you're paddling back out, there's a certain way to do that. If you're catching, if you're in the lineup, there's a certain way to catch waves. And so it just was a way that I felt made sense for Carissa, almost in a selfish way. Get along with everybody, wait your turn, be friendly, and then you'll be welcome back and you get to train and practice.
For me, my generation of growing up surfing, it was you either come to the party, you get invited to the luau, or you get sent home. As a child surfing on the South Shore or North Shore, there was a place of respect, and that was from the guy that was a little older than you or the uncles. It was pretty black and white. So you learned really quick the etiquette. The international etiquette goes far with sharing waves, surfing, and earning your spot. So that always stayed with me, and one of the main reasons for me was Duke Kahanamoku, Uncle Duke. He was known for sharing the Aloha spirit. He took surfing to Australia, all over the world, and he shared that. And as a little boy, that stayed with me. It really affected me. And one of my goals was to one day get invited to Classic, and that still stayed. So with my kids, fast forward with my kids, it was always showing the respect to the next surfer, especially the uncles. There's an etiquette, and the boys know who's who and how the pecking order goes. And it takes work to get there, but it starts from Waikiki to Kiwalos, maybe to Haliba, and then when you start surfing Sunset and Pipe, when you're traveling the world, you do the same thing, especially when you go around the world and in your backyard.
That was Gary Moniz and Chris Moore. Surfer Keone Downing, whose father George paved the way for big wave surfing, sees passing the torch this way.
Surfing's for life. You know, it's one sport, whether you're 6 years old or 90 years old, you can still do it. And you got to have some love for each other, because if we're going to keep getting more and more people, sooner or later we'll reach carry capacity, and if we don't have a law, then who knows what it looks like. The role models have to instill in the keiki as soon as possible, because they need to learn it so they can spread it within their own peer group. You know, you get the older ones, or kapunas, whatever you want to call them. Sometimes it's like my kids, hard to listen to the old person, but if they got to listen to themselves, then there's a better grasp of what is really being said.
Tonight we've got some up-and-coming surfers. Carissa Moore, you know, we had Rel's son as a wonderful role model, the queen of Makaha, and now we have Carissa Moore.
Oh yeah, you know, and role models, and Seth Moniz. I think they'd be great role models. But the role models, they've got to do it because they want to. And I think you become a role model by your actions, not necessarily by a title. So yeah, Carissa and Seth are two perfect examples for Kiwalo, or for the whole state. As you can be at the top of your game, but yet you can still spread a law.
Right. It's being humble in an ocean that is mightier than you.
Oh yeah. I mean, you learned that real quick. I mean, for me, if it wasn't for surfing, I don't know what I would have been. You know, surfing taught me so much. It taught me about myself. It gave me self-esteem. It told me when I did something wrong, there was automatic consequences. And the older I got, the consequences were harder and they hurt more. But you learn from it, and in the long run, when I step on land, land's easier to navigate compared to the ocean.
And you had your dad to kind of help you find your way.
Oh yeah, my dad helped me find my way. I was 14 years old, and we're going surfing Macaw, and Macaw was about 12 to 15 feet, but to me, it looked like 40 feet. And he put me in a spot, and I said, oh great, my dad put me in a safe spot, you know, I won't get the real big ones, but I can get the medium-sized ones. Well, as I looked at him paddle, he paddled over a wave and he was smiling. The next wave broke 15 feet outside of me, drove me to the bottom. I hit the bottom. I had to swim in. I was crying. I got to the beach and I wanted no more part of it. And this is my father. He says, Keone, the worst that could happen just happened to you. Now you can start to learn how to surf big waves. So, yeah, I had a role model, but it threw me in the fire first.
Make sure you knew your place.
Oh, yeah. But what I found with that concept, it really made sense after, because I see a lot of people, especially when we get into waves of consequence, they're really timid to move into the lineup because they don't know what the outcome's going to be. And so his way of letting me understand the outcome made it a lot easier for me then to learn how to ride big waves.
And talk about this location and Kupu and how it all kind of comes together here.
Well, this location, when I was growing up surfing here, this was a dump. This was a mound of dirt. It had pilings as the backdrop to hold the dirt in, and there was nothing here. And when I came 30 years later, how pretty this place has gotten to. And you know, now it's a spot that everybody wants to come. Where else can you come and get showers, restrooms,
you know, parking?
Those are all pieces that are important to the whole. I remember my dad and John Kelly. They always said, surf sites should be ocean parks, and they should be treated like a park. And this is probably the first one that you've really seen that acts as a park. Surf with Aloha is kind of the creed that came even from Duke. And the idea is that we all love it, we all have to learn how to share it.
Mahalo to Friends of Aloha for being proactive as surfing gets put on the international stage. All this week on The Conversation, we are reaching out to athletes and their families about the uncertainty ahead with the coronavirus. Stay tuned for those stories.